important as it is, it's just one component. The Growing You Futures is this wraparound process that helps the families, that looks at the social emotional support for kids, for families as well.
Thank you for listening to the Keynotes Podcast. I'm Marcus Chavez, the Communications Director for the Keystone Policy Center. This is our fourth and final episode of our series highlighting the work and impact of the Growing Youth Futures Initiative. If you have not done so already, I encourage you to listen to the first three episodes in this series, links to all of which are included in the show notes. Those episodes detailed the history of education for Indigenous communities in this country, as well as the creation of the Cuyahoga Community Academy, perhaps the crowning achievement of the Growing Youth Futures Initiative. But while KCA is the cornerstone of the Growing Youth Futures Initiative, it's not the only impact of the endeavor. Growing Youth Futures is an education master plan for the entire community because, obviously, there are so many more families with students, from kindergarten all the way through high school, who don't attend KCA than do. Growing Youth Futures serves them as well, so as to provide more opportunities for all students of Toyoak and strengthen the future of the community. Today, we detail those additional wraparound services provided by the Growing Youth Futures Initiative. One of the first programs you would expect to be included in an education plan is tutoring, and the leaders of the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe did implement a daily tutoring program in the evenings where tutors were available from 5 to 8 p.m. to help students. However, they did not have much success with that initial program because students felt as if it was just more school. So, they created an after-school enrichment program instead of an evening study period. And in a savvy marketing move, they changed the name. Sarah Begay, who is a secondary school transitions coordinator for the tribe, shares more.
Well, I think one of the main things is we called it after-school tutoring. And that just wasn't something that we felt was an appropriate name because, you know, tutoring implies, you know, you're just going there for school. We wanted it to be fun. So we changed the name to Study Buddy Squad. And so after a while, we would hear the students say, oh, hey, are you going to Study Buddy Squad? It started catching on within the school. And just to hear the kids say, Study Buddy Squad, are you going? You know, and then other kids like, what is that? And then we're like, oh, you know, they would tell them, they're all, well, you could come if you want to. We left it open, even though we had invited certain students. So that for me was a really positive impact, you know, for them to go and say, want to invite other parents, other kids. You know, and so that was really encouraging to me. So for me, that was an impact along with it helped them be more social for those that were struggling with being social in school. And the other thing was, you know, with the learning side of it, you know, it was more one-on-one. There wasn't a big group. So they were able to ask questions. They didn't have to compete with the others in class. And so, you know, we saw a lot of improvement there just in social emotional skills. The students also were able to express themselves more, and then the teachers could see an improvement. So they'd come back and then they'd be like, oh, we need to work on this. And so, you know, it just changed week by week.
The after-school program was a success, and coordinators saw twice the number of students participate than they were originally expecting. The tribe offered additional programs, including a weekly tutoring program for those kids whose test scores indicated they were falling behind. It also didn't just serve students of KCA or just elementary age students. It also offered support to students in middle and high school, including counseling for applying for scholarships and securing spots in employment programs like one called the Bushwhacker Program. Here's Sarah with more.
I also helped, even though it wasn't necessarily within our group, was with scholarships, which is where I come from formally. So being able to talk to students, and then some of them even went to go volunteer at KCA, so that was helpful. We also partnered with the Bushwhacker Program, which is run by the UMNU Rec Center, to offer activities to bushwhackers over the summer. And we did that about two times a week, and all the activities were STEAM-based as well.
Growing Youth Futures also offered support for students transitioning into different schools, such as from middle school to high school. It also allowed students to have experiences in other towns, including visiting learning centers and museums, as well as even experience having a meal in a restaurant they had never been to before. These experiences left an impression on the younger students in particular.
Just taking them on activities in general. You know, a lot of them, we had went to the Powerhouse Science Center in Durango. Some of the kids hadn't even been there before. We took them to a nice, what would seem like a fairly moderate restaurant, which was Steamworks Brewing Company. The kids were like so fascinated. They were calling it a fancy restaurant. And so we were like, you know, taking kids off the reservation and taking them to one of the local cities around here was just life-changing for them. It's experience that, you know, just the other day I heard one of the kids talk about, you know, I want Tato told my family, let's go over here. And, you know, these are kindergarten through third graders, you know, who still remember this to this day, even though it happened in the summer. So just those small little trips, those activities make an impact. And I think that's, you know, I'm glad that we were able to do that for these kids.
If you have listened to the first three episodes of this series on the Growing Your Futures Initiative, you know that culture and language is central to the Education Master Plan. It is what the school curriculum is based on for KCA students. But that revitalization of the language expands beyond Toyoak students. The Ute Mountain Ute Tribe also partnered with the Language Conservancy to develop an e-learning platform to teach the Ute language to anyone with an internet connection and a computer or mobile device. Jeremy Crisberg, who is a content developer for the Language Conservancy, explains how this project got started.
But I know that originally there was a dictionary project that we were doing with the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe, and that predated the e-learning project. And then basically they created a contract with us to create a certain amount of material on our e-learning platform after we had shown them the way the e-learning platform works and what it looks like. And then so that would basically be how the project started.
After the initial design of the platform had been developed, the Language Conservancy continued working with the tribe to build the curriculum.
I started working on the project last summer and really late summer, starting in the early fall. And it already had a few initial units laid out, kind of just bare bones, not really fully fleshed out with explanations and a lot of exercises and things like that. And then over the course of the past year, leading up till the end of June, when the project finished, we created, you know, additional units, built up a much larger bank of exercises for each of the units to use, and added in a lot of explanations and things like that to the units. So there would be vocabulary units focusing on things like, you know, beginner material, household items, colors, and then more kind of communication type units, which would have things like greetings and expressions that were commonly used, and then start to get into simple grammar units. So those would introduce how to use direct objects and simple sentences and things along those lines. So over the course of the past year, we got up to, I think it was 27 units on the platform that were ready for release at the end of June.
The platform is called Nuwega, and it can be accessed at nuwega.com. That's N-U-U-W-A-Y-G-A.com. The free platform provides individualized curricula, progress tracking, and interactive games allowing anyone to learn the Ute language. It also has an app that you can download on your device. The platform was completed this past summer, and a kickoff event was held in Toyoak a short time later.
It was ready for release at the end of June, and then we had a release event that took place in Toyoak, Colorado, later in July. And it was part of a larger language immersion weekend that they were hosting over there. And we sent out Will Mayo, who's our CEO, along with a bunch of laptops and to set up stations where participants in the immersion weekend could test out the platform, get a feel for how it works, and start to try and generate some interest in using the e-learning platform.
I hope we can take a moment and just take stock of what the tribe accomplished in just these last 3 years, and in the midst of a global pandemic. The Ute Mountain Ute Tribe, along with partners like the Keystone Policy Center, has developed a transformative endeavor to tackle generations of neglect and trauma for this indigenous community. They are restoring their language and culture, educating their children, supporting their families, and potentially creating a generation of future leaders. But the tribe is at a critical juncture at this moment. Here's Millie Hamner, Senior Policy Director at Keystone, to explain why.
The funding goes through September of 2023, And we know that the work won't be done then. So what we're embedding into this process is the ability to raise awareness about the process and the project and to create a sustainable funding source so that the work that we've started can continue.
The funding that came to the tribe via the RISE grant that made these programs possible has just surpassed, curtailing some of the services provided as part of the Growing You Futures initiative. For example, as of the time I spoke to Sarah Begay a few weeks ago, the Study Buddy, weekly tutoring, and transition service programs she ran have been put on hold. The groundwork has been laid and leaders stand ready to continue these services, but the tribe needs additional partners, whether they be local, state, business, nonprofit, federal, or otherwise, to continue the momentum of Growing You Futures. Collaborative partnerships are how this endeavor was started, and that same collaboration is what will keep it going. And the stakes are high, but the potential is unlimited, as is the impact. To finish up this series, I share again a clip from Earners House Jr., reiterating what is now possible because of programs like Growing You Futures.
And what I hope 10, 20, 30 years from now, we will see those students becoming the next tribal leaders, the next teachers, the next dean of students, the next president of Fort Lewis College. That opportunity is there.
Keynotes is a production of the Keystone Policy Center, a 501c3 nonprofit organization based out of Keystone, Colorado, which for more than 45 years has empowered leaders to reach common higher ground. This episode has been made possible by contributions from the Ballantine Family Fund. If you would like to learn more about the Keystone Policy Center, visit our website at keystone.org.